And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern parts of the great Southeast. I'm talking about y'all. This show is like from Huntsville to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, we got plenty to talk about. Not the least of which is the Second Amendment. Live free or die, baby. I mean, listen, so never take that for granted. And I realize not everybody's going to be a gun guy, all right? So it doesn't have to be that you are. It doesn't mean that it's not one of your rights. You may not be a big public speaker, but you may not want to lose your First Amendment freedoms, right? You might not be a believer, but you shouldn't ever want to lose your right to religious freedoms. You may not have any desire to... Or for that matter, you may not ever get arrested, but you don't want to lose rights to due process. So what I'm saying is this, even if you're not a gun-toting right-side ruffian, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't care what's happening with your Second Amendment. Because right now, there are things happening both pro and con related to the Second Amendment. It's in a constant state of attack. It is probably one of the most vilified of all the liberties. And it truly is a right. You have a constitutional right, not a privilege, not an opportunity, not a gracious giving of something by government to you. It is something that government can't take away from you. It is yours already. It is inherent. It is absolutely there. It is tangible. And yet, the left will constantly try to curtail it and blame crimes that have guns in them on the gun themselves. But they don't do that if it's a car. Like this massive terrorist incident that we had down in horrible thing in New Orleans over New Year's. The guy had a gun and he had a car. He killed more people with the car than he did with the gun, but they're not going to ban the cars. Just saying. There's no congruity here. If somebody went on a rampage with a bat, they won't ban bats. If somebody stabs someone, they're not going to ban knives. Why do they attack this? Because it's a target of opportunity for the left, because it's a right. And they hate the fact that you have rights. They just do. They hate the fact that we have rights. They would love to be able to have an office of disinformation to correct us on our freedom of speech. They would love to be able to say, well, when the COVID lockdowns come, you can't even meet with your church because, you know, religious freedom means nothing to them. All of these things I'm telling you, they're legit. Think about the places where you're attacked that actually deal with your religious liberties, with your freedom of speech, with your rights of due process, with all of it. And recognize that even if those things aren't something that you take advantage of on a daily basis or make use of on a regular set of events, it does not mean you should not care. Because the minute they can erode one of them, they can erode all of them. If they can come in and tell you, you are not allowed to speak, then I got news. The next thing they'll tell you is you're not allowed to assemble. You're not allowed to express yourself. We don't have to worry about freedom of the press. We can censor that. And oh, by the way, that Second Amendment, that right to bear arms, they put it number two for a reason. Because the very first thing they did was they say in the First Amendment, you're going to have the right to freedom of speech, you're going to have the right to freedom of your religion, and you're going to have the right to a free press. Basically, the ability to communicate and to worship was considered sacrosanct, and it was number one. That's the First Amendment. But right behind it is the ability to defend it with the Second Amendment. Now, there's a movement afoot right now to do some things. Pro and con, like I said. Here's one that's actually pro. Pulled this off Red State. Got hold of it, Dateline was 3 days ago. Concealed carry reciprocity. All right, what are we talking about? Reciprocity, fancy word, meaning you do it and so will I. I'll do it with you. We reciprocate. Alabama, where I'm sitting right now, is a full-fledged permitless carry state. You can carry concealed. You can carry open. No one can say anything about it. Do we still sell gun permits? Yes, we do. Why do we do that? Because not every state feels that way. And if you're going to bring your firearm with you while you're driving north across state lines and you drive into Illinois, you might want to know that you've got a permit from wherever you originated that authorizes you, and you're hoping that state provides you with some reciprocity. Meaning, if you get pulled over in a traffic stop, and the officer says, I need to see your license and registration, please, and would you step out of the car and advise me, do you have any weapons in the car? Well, yes, I do, officer. What do you have? Well, I have a Glock 9mm under the seat. Okay, do you have a permit for that? Yes, I do. I'd like to see the permit, too. All right. In other words, you had reciprocity, but you may find, here's the problem. You may find that some states, and even some installations, like it amazes me, and this ticks me off, but I know a young man right now who is facing criminal charges because as a young worker at Redstone Arsenal, Alabama, right here in my listening area, in the heart of Alabama, a freedom-loving red state where we have open carry and permitless carry, this young guy, who, by the way, had a security clearance, was going to work one day, and an overzealous MP at the gate decided to stop him and do a vehicle search and found that he had a lawfully owned firearm in his vehicle secured, and he's now facing charges. Why? Because it's a federal installation. Oh, you mean things are different in other places? Yes, they are. Even sometimes inside the state, you can drive onto a post. By the way, I hope things work out the best for that kid. And I would hope that, too, someone would get hold of that MP and say, is there a reason why you're picking on people like this with their, you know, their freedoms? Anyway, we've got a situation right now in the House. Story from Red State. The Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act. It's coming up. It's got a lot of support in the House. We now have a majority in the Senate. Will it pass? I don't know. What does it do? Well, it basically says we won't have a patchwork quilt of states. It says if you have a valid permit to carry a firearm in your home state, that every state will have to give you reciprocity, meaning that they can't deny your federal constitutional right to bear arms. Well, that's huge. President Donald Trump has already said that he will sign the bill if it comes to his desk. I mean, we got a narrow majority in the Senate. We got a very narrow majority in the House, but we do have a majority in both. And right now we have 124 co-sponsors on the bill, which is being carried by Representative Richard Hudson, the Republican out of North Carolina. So we've got a situation right now where they might be able to get away with, like right now we have 29 states that have permitless concealed carry, like Alabama. 29. But since not every state does, you can drive across one state line and wind up and being in big trouble without realizing it. So let's see what happens. The bill is before both bodies, and we'll know sometime in the near future. But that's not the way it is everywhere. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Like, for instance, story here I pulled off of Yahoo. Phil, did you go to Yahoo? I did. Yahoo. Where's that piece? I was going to look at it. Yeah. So, California. Oh, well, I went there. California. This particular article from Yahoo came out right at 2 weeks ago. New gun laws rolling out in multiple states on January 1st. What do we have? Well, we have President Joe Biden, who is claiming that we need to do more for gun control. And Democrats in Democrat-run states are doing all they can to make that happen. But the National Rifle Association did have several victories, and that's good, in the year 2024, much to the dismay of the gun control activists. But nonetheless, we still have, like, California. Gavin Newsom signed in a series of laws that took effect January 1. Pray tell, what would they be? Well, the usual. We're going to do something token like establishing an Office of Gun Violence Prevention. What does it do? I don't know. Tells people not to do that? I don't know. What do you do with an Office of Gun Violence Prevention? Are they going to have subpoena power? Are they going to have arrest authority? Are they going to be manned by, like, you know, like certified police officers? Or are they going to be just like a bunch of do-gooders who have neat ideas and they put out like comic books for kids to read? I don't know. Or how about AB 1483? Strengthens a rule in California that does not allow you to buy more than one handgun every 30 days. Come on. I mean, I don't know what to think about that. I guess if you're buying a dozen at a time, you might go, wow, you need a dozen? But what if you do? What if you want a dozen? What if you're a, I mean, is it is allowed dealer? I don't know. Are dealers bound? I don't know how they're handling this. But AB 1483 says you can't buy more than one every 30 days. That's absolutely a violation of the U.S. Constitution. How about this one? AB 1598 requires firearms dealers to provide consumers with a pamphlet that covers the risks of firearm ownership. Because nobody knew when they bought a gun that someone could get hurt if you weren't careful. So now we got to have a pamphlet put in your hands that says, by the way, be careful with your gun. Somebody could get hurt. This is just asinine. Colorado, this is fun. Colorado says as of January 1st, any handgun inside of an unoccupied vehicle has to be locked in a hard-sided container outside of plain view, and the vehicle must also be locked with some exceptions, although I don't have the exceptions here. I don't know what they are. What are the exceptions? I don't know. All I know is this. You got to have a hard-sided container containing your firearm inside of your locked vehicle. Otherwise, you're in violation of the law. How do they possibly enforce that? Is it a secondary thing? Can they pull you over just for that? Can the police officer walk through the parking lot and check doors? How do they do this? I don't know. Friggin' Colorado. But one of the big ones, though, that I think the NRA has been doing pretty good at fighting is this. There's a thing called a merchant category code. Have you heard about this, JP? All right, so when you use your credit card and you go buy something, right? The banking systems categorize different purchases on a credit card using what's called an MCC code. I did a whole segment on this last year, I think. The MCC code, the merchant category code. So if you're buying groceries, there's a code for that. If you're buying sporting goods, there's a code for that. For all this time, firearms have been categorized separately into the MCC category code for sporting goods. What's the big deal?
I don't see a big deal about that.
I don't either. But now they want firearm sales to have a separate merchant category code. Pray tell, why would that be?
So they can crack down on firearms being purchased.
Did I say bam? Yes, I did. But yeah, that's exactly right. So they can create the list. If they create a database, why would they need a database? Why would you want a database of who bought a firearm?
Who? Why is it any of their business? You know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's no actual viable reason for why you would need a separate database of gun purchases unless you were looking for the gun purchasers. That's the only reason why they do it. You ever seen the original movie Red Dawn?
Yes, I have. I actually had to watch it in...
praise God.
I had to watch it in history class in high school. Yes, I saw it.
Well, okay. All right, that's a good one. All right, so there's one scene in there where the Russians and the Cubans have just invaded, and the Cuban commander who is in the Colorado town where the Red Dawn, you know, where the Wolverine kids came from, he says, go to the sporting goods store. You will find a list of every firearm that's been sold. You will go to the house of every person who bought a firearm. You will confiscate those firearms. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, that's...
If you build the list, you can find who bought them. That's all they would do.
And the only reason they want to know that is to take it away. Like, that's the only reason they... I can't think of any other reason why they would even lie about wanting that list.
There's no other reason. Real quick, I've never heard of this. Minnesota passed a binary trigger ban. What is a binary trigger?
I have no idea what a binary trigger is.
It says here, a binary trigger allows a gun to be fired once when the trigger is pulled and again when the trigger is released. So the gun that you're firing in both directions? I've never heard of a binary trigger.
So it shoots again when you let off the trigger? Is that what it's saying?
Yes.
How does that? What? I've never even heard of that.
That sounds crazy, to be honest with you. How do you control that? Delaware makes it a felony to possess a firearm anywhere near a school campus. Good luck with that. And New York requires gun dealers now to post warning signs warning consumers about the risks of gun ownership. So, hey, firearms are inherently dangerous. Good luck.
By the way, this could kill somebody if you didn't know. It's called a gun.
It's messed up.
I don't know if you came here to buy a gun, but if you were, it could kill somebody.
Yeah. What? Yeah. If you buy poison, please understand it could have problems.
Yeah.
Just don't eat it. All right, we're taking a break right now. We're in number one of the Triple Dipper, Live Free or Die. So when you get back, I'll tell you about Tennessee just got a new bill in place this past year. And I like it. And it's important. And I'll tell you why. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so let's talk about Second Amendment, live free or die. How about red flag laws? You ever heard of red flag laws, JP? This is maybe a new one.
No, I have not.
All right, it's a fairly, I don't want to say too, it's not like it's unknown, but the term has really gotten a lot of notoriety in the last couple of years.
I've probably heard of the concept if, you know.
I'm sure you have, but a red flag law is basically if something about your life raises a red flag to somebody in official capacity, they can flag you and you lose your firearm rights because you may or may not be a danger to yourself or others. The only question is who gets to decide that you really are a danger? Government. Government decides.
It's, yeah, subjective to the government.
The government picks the winners and losers. So here's a scenario for you. Let's picture this. Maybe you're bat stir crazy and you've got a history of violent crime and that's real. Or maybe you're somebody who's in the middle of a bad divorce and your angry soon-to-be ex-spouse is trying to get custody of the kids, and so they file a claim against you that has no basis in reality. They're just doing it out of spite, trying to gain the upper hand in the divorce action, and suddenly you have a red flag, and now you can't have firearms. That's where we're headed with this. So, that being said, red flag laws suck. Red flag laws are literally not something that a free society should ever allow or pursue or be happy about. But in Illinois, Dateline last week, Illinois, the governor is prepared to sign a bill that would allow the seizure of firearms from anybody who has had a red flag placed against them within 96 hours of the red flag. This includes ex parte orders where the respondent is not even notified. Ex parte means something happens without the speaking to. You can't have an ex parte conversation with a judge, or you can't have an ex parte hearing. An ex parte hearing would be one in which the other person is not involved. So in this case, they're saying there can be a claim filed against you. You didn't even know about it, but it's scary. And so someone comes in within 96 hours and knocks, shows on your door and has a badge, and they say, "We're here to seize your firearms." Red flag laws. Does that sound like a good idea? How about no? Yet Governor Gretchen Whitmer, oh, sure she did. She signed a extreme risk protection order legislation into effect in 2023. So in Michigan, yeah, red flag laws, they exist. They're soon to exist in Illinois. Thankful for Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee, who signed legislation that preempts any locals from trying to put in their own red flag laws, because what you have a real problem with is when a city council is liberal, but the rest of the state's not, and the city council says, "We'll take matters into our own hands. We'll just curtail those liberties ourselves inside the city limits," and they try to put a, you know, red flag law in place for, I don't know, pick one, the city of Chattanooga, the city of Knoxville. And how about no? Well, right now, we've got Governor Lee and the legislature of Tennessee signed a bill that says local governments cannot enact their own red flag laws. All right, there, I feel like I crammed that last part in, but y'all, just keep your eyes open. Red flag laws, that's a sneaky way of basically saying gun control, and the government gets to pick the winners and losers. Coming right back, we'll talk about some relief. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.